right. Hey, folks, good evening. Welcome back. Another Wednesday night Bible study, prayer time together. And surprise, surprise, when you woke up this morning, there was snow on the ground. And it's always a welcome sight for some of us. For some of you, maybe not so. But we're glad that we can be all together tonight around God's Word. And I hope you have your Bibles with you. We're going to be getting into those here in just a little bit. First, I wanted to read a thank you card that we had received here at the church. This is from Ray, Leanne, and Merrill and Daryl, a family that was in our church that just moved away recently. Said, Pastor and our wonderful church family, we're getting settled in our new place. It is a lot of work, but we're loving every minute of it. I thank God every day for what He has given us. Merle is doing wonderful at school and has made several new friends. Daryl has been able to start speech therapy again and is doing great. We miss all of our church family and friends and hope we can find a church down here just like we had at Grace. Thank you all for welcoming us as you did, taking us into your family. We truly appreciated it. We pray everyone has a wonderful Christmas and a new year. So thankful that we got that update from Leanne and her husband, and trust that you'll continue to pray for them. With the prayer bulletin, there are several prayer requests in there. Several folks still have upcoming medical procedures. Spud has one today, or had one today, and also Joe is having some surgery on Friday. Please continue to be in prayer for them. We do have a praise, someone who's been on our prayer list for some time now. This would be the Long's son-in-law. We've been praying for him. He got the results back from his scope on Tuesday, and he is cancer-free today. So we're thankful and praising the Lord with them. Also, a praise, Maya had her surgery on yesterday. Monday or Tuesday. I'm getting my days mixed up. Anyway, she's doing well. They did the next phase of her surgeries, and so now she's at home recovering, and they'll take the next phase at a later date. But also, another praise, Kevin and Amanda, someone else we've been praying for, are doing much better from their COVID. Kevin is back to work. Amanda's dealing with a lingering cough, but again, thank you for your prayers in that regard. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started into our Bible study for tonight. And if you check Amazon, there are over 100,000. All it says is over 100,000. So who knows how many more over that there is, but there's over 100,000 self-help books for sale on Amazon. Books like The Self-Care Prescription, A Year of Mindfulness, Good Vibes, Good Life. How about this one? Atomic Habits, An Easy, Proven Way to Build Good Habits and Break Bad Ones. Then there's the Self-Love book. There's 12 Rules for Life. How about this? You deserve better. And then there's this one, Addicted to the Money Mind. Every year, new ones come out on the market. All of them are designed and sold on the premise that they're going to provide you with a better life. The book sales are successful, hugely successful, multi-billion dollar industry. Their strategies are not so successful. Now, why do I say that? Well, because every year, more new books, new diets, new strategies, new promises that are being made. They're needed, one, because we as Americans, or just as people as general, realize we need help. But every year, new books come out because the ones last year didn't quite pan out or do what they all promised to do. Within every person, is a subconscious knowledge that they need improvement. We need improvement. We need change. How about this? New Year's resolutions? Every year, there's more New Year's resolutions because we realize we need to change something from the last year. There's more personal discipline, better positive thinking this year. The problem is, these things, they only take us so far because they deal with the externals for the most part, for time. But they don't transform us internally. There is one book, one source of truth that has been transforming lives for a very long time. It's a living book, a life-changing book. It can discern your heart. It can transform your thinking. It makes good on every one of the promises that it makes within the book, the Word of God. It's one of the greatest motivators of all life. The problem is, it isn't our book. When it comes to when it becomes a person's book, their go-to book, their book of choice, and when it stays a person's book, they experience radical life change because of the book. So, question, is the Bible your book? Do you read it often? Or have you become bored, disconnected from its truth? Tonight, we look at another motive for doing what we do, the Word of God. Number one, for your outlines, I'm sorry, we're not going to have these up on your screen tonight. We've had a little difficulty here at the church. So number one, God's Word changes us. Now think back over the course of your life as a Christian. It all began with this book, with the truths from this book. It is from this book the truth came out to you in some form or fashion that you were a sinner, that you needed a Savior, that because of your sin, you could not enter the presence of God. You could not spend eternity in heaven. In fact, because of your sin, you deserved and were going to get an eternity in hell. It is because of the truths of this book. The moment that you accepted Christ, the effect, the change that took place, it was the effect of the truths of this book. They changed you. It changed your life for all eternity. There was a time when you were reading, studying it, hearing a message preached, and all of those times perhaps put together culminated in you making a decision for change. Through the Bible, God alters our life and our direction in life. How can this be? How can a book have the power to change and motivate us like no other book? You can get books off of Amazon right now that tell you the power to change is within you. Your power to change is all wrapped up in yourself. And yet every year another new book comes out saying the same thing. It didn't work last year. But the Word of God has the power to change and motivate us like no other book can. Here's a passage for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us," so they heard a message preached. They received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When we receive it, the word of God, when we receive it as truth, when we receive it with belief that it is the very words of God, it works in us. From it, we get truth, we get courage, we get strength, we get hope. This verse means that as I read God's word with a believing and receptive heart, it begins to bring about a transformation. It rebuilds my mind, changes the way I think about things, changes my character, changes my behavior. This is what God's word does. It molds us into the image of Christ. Dr. Chappell put it this way in his book. It's kind of like laying down on God's operating table. And as we lay down on God's operating table, he then begins to surgically operate on us with the word of God, a spiritual surgery, if you will. Isaiah 55 and verse 11 says this, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Let's go on to Roman numeral number 2, the effects of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, there's a verse many of us are familiar with. "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." God's word is profitable, it says. In other words, it benefits us. Exposing ourselves to, immersing ourselves in the word of God yields benefits. How can that be? We could say that's a promise. Well, God says it's a promise. He makes the statement. It's true. And it also says there in the verse that I read previously, Isaiah 55, 11, that God's word does not return void. It accomplishes what he intended for it to accomplish. So God's word is profitable. How? Let's go ahead in your notes there and let's list a number of benefits, profitabilities, if you will, of the Bible. Number one, it discerns our hearts. It discerns our hearts. It knows what our heart's thinking. In the Old Testament, it says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God telling us that we can't even properly discern our own heart. But God's word can. It just has a way of getting in there. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 describes the word of God in very vivid detail as to how it does this. Here's what the verse says. "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." There's one benefit right there. It discerns our hearts. We can't, the word of God can. Number two, it works in us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says this, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. We read this just moments ago, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When the word of God comes in us, that verse tells us it works in us. It has the idea of a continual working. It's in there and it's working. We may not even realize it right now, but it's working and it's building and it's accomplishing what God intended for it to accomplish. It is the word of God and it is effective. It works. Number three, it gives us patience, comfort, and hope. Those are some things that we need and we look for. We need patience and we're looking for comfort and we hope to have hope, right? Romans chapter 15 and verse 14, it says this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written, this is the Bible, it was written for our learning that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Number four, it is perfect, sure, right, and pure. I know I put four things into one, but that's all right. It's perfect, sure, right, and pure. Psalm 19 and verse 7, they all come from these two verses, 7 and 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It is perfect at converting the soul. It makes us wise, folks. Number five, it purifies our lives. We go to the Psalm 119. Verse number 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. A young man's life, it's a mess. He's making wrong choices. He's making a mess of his life. He is, or we are, or someone we know is, or we have before. What can change that? 12-step programs, interventions, people caring, people doing nice things, hoping to love them to Jesus by doing nice things. It's important we do that, of course, but it doesn't change the person. What does? How does a person cleanse his way? How does a person take their life, which is full of wrong choices right now, and cleanse it to where they're making right choices and living a life that pleases God? The verse tells us, taking heed to the word of God. Back to the Bible. Number six, it lightens our path. We've been in the situation before where we just don't know what to do. Things are cloudy, things are dark, things are foggy. We don't know which direction to turn. We don't know what decision to make. What do we do? Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It lights our path. Number seven, it also protects us from offense. Now, let me just say a few words here real quick. It protects us from offense. I think it's true. We could all say that we've all been offended before. And it's probably true that for all of us, at least one or some of those offenses have been extremely offensive to us. We have been dreadfully wronged. Unjustly wronged. But I'm also going to suggest that perhaps most of the offenses that we categorize as offenses, times when we've been offended, are not really offense-worthy actions. Let me explain where we can find some help in this self-help book. In Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, great peace they have which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. If you're someone who's easily offended, maybe you don't think you are. Maybe you feel like the whole world's out to get you always. You're always getting untreated, or you're always being treated unfairly. Okay, another way of saying that is you're easily offended. If you're someone that gets easily offended, or you have someone in your house or in your family, maybe it's a spouse who's always offending you. Here's the answer. Love thy law. Love God's word, and the result will be peace. And nothing shall offend you. Number eight, it gives success. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I'm going to stop right there. It says to meditate therein day and night. In order for the rest of this verse to be true, we have to do the first part of the verse. It says, first of all, it shall not depart out of our mouth. How often do we talk about God's word? Or has that departed out of our mouth? When we enter a problem, when we enter a difficulty, a relationship issue, what's the first thing we talk about? The problem, right? With other people and how we've been mistreated. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And if all we're doing is talking about the offense, talking about the problem, that means the book of the law has departed from our mouth. But then it says, you shall meditate in the Bible day and night. Okay, now remember, in order for the rest of this verse to be true, the first part has to be true. So the book of the law, God's word, has not departed out of our mouth, and we're meditating in God's word day and night. In other words, we're always thinking about, chewing on, meditating on God's word. I can't tell you exactly what that looks like, but I know it doesn't look like a morning devotional in a devotional book that takes 5 minutes. But you're meditating, you're thinking about it, you're chewing on God's word all throughout the day. When things happen, you're applying God's word to the thing that just happened, meditating all day long. So it hasn't departed from your mouth. You're thinking about and applying God's word all throughout your day. And then here's what happens, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. First of all, when we do those first two things, the natural result is we're going to incline ourselves to more obedience to God's word. And not just incline ourselves, I think we're going to be more intentional about doing all that is written therein, because we're immersing ourselves in it all the time. It's always right there on the forefront of our mind, and so we do it. But then here's the next thing that happens. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, we don't have time to delve into it tonight, but that is not success as the world defines it. Money, cars, houses, and lots of people that love you. But it is success, it is prosperous, and it is good because God calls it good. The word of God gives success. Okay, number nine, it gives understanding. Proverbs 19:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Folks, when you are discouraged, the Bible will encourage. When you don't know, it will guide. When you are tired, it will strengthen. When you go through what Psalms 23 calls the valley of the shadow of death, it'll sustain you. When all seems hopeless, it gives hope. And when you wander, it'll bring you back. And folks, we're just scratching the surface here on the benefits of God's word. If you're not convinced, go back through your life as a Christian. Identify those times in life that I brought to light just previously, all those different moments, like when you got saved, like when you took another step of growth. How did God's word bring you through? Think about that. Just don't think about, oh yeah, I got saved on this day and my teacher in Sunday school, she was there, or my mom led me in a prayer, or whatever the scenario was. Don't just think about that, but bring in the word of God. Think about how it was the word of God that brought you through those moments in life. If you went to God's word during those times, it did bring you through. Maybe someone brought God's word to you and it was an encouragement, an uplifting thing, and it brought you through. Do this exercise, okay? Write down the memories that come to mind. If you didn't go to God's word then, do it now. As you think back at those times and how the word of God has, there are words in God's word that fit those particular times. And let God's truth do the work in your heart that it's intended to do. So number three, where do you turn? The question, where do we turn? Where do we look for answers to problems? Now, I know everyone's thinking, the Bible, yes. But where do we turn? Where do we go to seek change and personal growth? Well, the yearly surveys that are taken every year, same surveys every year, they would suggest that too many Christians have become bored and disconnected from their most valuable source of help and motivation, the Bible. Where do we turn first? Different, probably, for all of us. Friends, social media, internet philosophy, Google. Then, as a last resort, we go to the Bible, perhaps. It sometimes is our last thought. And it has been replaced by some of these other sources. The Bible should be our first place to go. Let me read this passage to you from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, in such a way that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then," this is a big if then statement here, folks, "if everything that I just read, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Out of God's mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Bible are the words of God that have literally come from his mouth. If God was going to be here this Sunday to give us a special message, in some way he communicated to the world that God was going to show up here at Grace Baptist Church to deliver a message to all of us. And don't worry, it's only going to be 30 minutes, okay? So it's not going to be too long. A quick 30-minute message from God to all of us. A special moment, a special word from God during these COVID times. He's going to be here. This place would be packed. Every member of Grace Baptist Church would be here. COVID or no COVID, they're going to be here. Every Christian around here is going to be here, regardless of any mandates from Springfield. People are going to show up. They're going to be here. And yet every morning we have a message from God laying on our nightstand in a drawer on the coffee table, and we never open it. That's the Bible. It is God's words, Him speaking to us. It's not just a book with paper and ink and some religious words on there that we choose to believe. Those are God's word. And the proof of that is in the benefits that we went through. Those are real benefits. People all over for ages have experienced those benefits, and they keep coming from the Bible, from the words of God's of God. Do you see the benefits in God's word? Understanding, knowledge of God, wisdom, confidence, security, hope, right decisions. In that passage that I just read, it is prefaced at the beginning with "if." If we will receive the words. God doesn't cram them down our throats. He makes them available to us in this day and age. It's everywhere. Not just a book, but digital files. We have the words of God being spoken and taught here at Grace Baptist Church. If we will just receive the words. It didn't say hear. It said receive. And not just let them drift in one ear and out the other. But we will file them in our heart. If after hearing, we will intentionally apply those words. If we will seek for those words, like we would for buried treasure. If your neighbor came to you and said, "You know what? I bought a lottery ticket last week, the big ball. So many hundreds of millions of dollars, whatever it was." He said it was the winning ticket. Unfortunately, as I was walking out of my house to go cash it in, the wind blew it out of my hand and it landed in your yard somewhere. If you would find that for me, I'll give you half of it. Would you get to it later? If you have time, when it's convenient for you? Keep in mind, I know it's boring looking for a piece of paper in your backyard, especially if you haven't raked your leaves yet, because it could be anywhere. Would you do it? Yeah. Would you seek for it as hid treasure? That's how we as Christians need to go after the Word of God. Not just when it's convenient for us. Not just when it is only 110% safe for us. Then we'll go after the words of God. But no, we seek after the words of God just as they were hid treasures. If we will seek for them like we would for buried treasure, then, the Bible says, then we will know the benefits. Then we will know that the transformation, the motivation that comes from the Word of God. Is the Bible your book? I hope tonight you'll make it your book. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, thank you for this this excursion into the benefits of your word. The benefits come from your word. The benefits are your word. You tell us what the benefits are. This life-changing book that can not only motivate us, but should be our motivation for the things that we do. God, it needs to be a part of our life. It needs to be our life. Not a part, but our life needs to be revolving around your word at the center. Help us to make that so. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, thank you for coming and joining with me tonight. I hope to see you on Sunday morning and then Sunday night here at Grace at 6 o'clock. We'll be having our candlelight service observing the Christmas season. Thank you again and have a great week.